You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is a Civic Media News special report at the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison. I'm Todd Albaugh. We're breaking in before our regular show to bring you some breaking news right now out of the state of Florida. According to CNN, a suspect is in custody following a reported shooting at Florida State University this afternoon. According to two law enforcement sources with direct knowledge of the situation, preliminary reports indicate that there may be injuries involved, though the extent of those injuries is unclear, according to the sources. Quote, an active shooter has been reported in the area of the student union, unquote, the university said in a post on X, formerly known as Twitter. They go on to say police are on the scene or on the way, continue to seek shelter and await further instructions, lock and stay away from doors and windows, and prepare to take additional precautionary measures, unquote. A subsequent emergency message from Florida State University Alert said to continue to shelter in place. CNN and other sources have reached out to the Tallahassee Police Department and the Leon County Sheriff's Department and the university. Florida State University student Emily Palmer, 21, was near Florida State University's student union when she was alerted to a, quote, dangerous situation, unquote, on campus. She went on to say, I'm shaking. It's just a lot going on right now, she told CNN. She was in her student housing area, and she said she's concerned about friends. She has friends in class right now who are getting evacuated by police with their hands up. Again, to recap right now, headline out of Florida State University in Tallahassee at this hour, a suspect is in custody following a reported shooting at Florida State University in Tallahassee. There are reports of injuries, although the extent of those injuries is unclear. Continue to listen right here to our Civic Media stations. ABC and CBS will continue to update this at the top and bottom of each hour. For now, for the World Headquarters of Civic Media in Madison, I'm Todd Albaugh reporting.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 8 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, April 17th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Overcast skies right now, weather forecast, maybe some bumpy weather coming into tonight, into tomorrow morning. Winds as well across the state of Wisconsin. Continue to listen to us as our great weather team will update it. And of course, we have that breaking news story and apparent shooting at a university, this time at Florida State University in Tallahassee. We'll continue to update that throughout the show as details become more evident. But Mr. Zommers, a big show today. Looking forward to a lot of our guests.
Big show today, indeed. And I noticed you were wearing a Packers polo there.
Go Pack Go. Absolutely. Got the Packer polo on today. Going to talk a little Packers. And a little bit later this hour, State Senator Sarah Kieske, who represents South Central and Southwest Wisconsin in the State Senate, will be here talking about housing reform. Lots as we travel around the state, lots of people talking about housing. Hour number two, a little what's worse for you regarding pity or ambivalence. So on the lighter side, we'll talk a little bit about that. But speaking of Green Bay, let's go via StreamYard right now to the city of Green and Gold. And we are joined and honored to be joined by the mayor of Green Bay, Wisconsin, Mr. Eric Genrick. And Mr. Mayor, thanks for being with us today. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me, Todd.
It's a real pleasure. We've done this show from your beautiful city before, both at our facility there in downtown Green Bay, our studios at WGBW, and we've been around the city as well. And of course, we all love the Packers, but what we've learned, and my dad's stepmom live in Shawano, and so I get to Green Bay a lot. there's also so much more. It's not just the Packers. There's history, there's leisure, there's industry. It's just a great city and part of what makes Wisconsin great.
Absolutely. I would not disagree with anything you said there. Obviously, you know, as some of your listeners might know, Green Bay was designated as the number one community to live in just a couple of years back. And that's always been my opinion, but it's kind of nice to have somebody like US News and World Report validate that for you. But yeah, Green Bay is a great place. I'm very fortunate, obviously, to be the mayor, but also just to be born and raised here. Spent the bulk of my life here. Went down to Madison to go to school and worked down there for a bit. But otherwise, you know, have been in Green Bay. And yeah, we've got a lot to offer in addition to the Green Bay Packers. We've got one of the oldest municipally owned amusement parks in the country, Bay Beach. A lot of folks are familiar. You know, my joke is the happiest place on earth is not that swamp down in Florida. It's actually, you know, in Green Bay,
right?
Especially for a budget conscious family. I mean, you can still, you know, put your kids on a ride for a quarter here in the city. So it's just an amazing place. We've got a, you know, roller coaster and a bunch of other rides as well, but a wildlife sanctuary, you know, in close proximity to our amusement park, and an amazing botanical garden on the west side, a really vibrant downtown. One of the largest, you know, farmers markets happens on Wednesday evenings here in Green Bay. I think there's a little bit of a debate between, you know, which one's bigger, the Madisons or the Green Bays, but we have a lot of fun at the farmers markets here in town. And yeah, there's just a lot of, I think, good momentum here within the community with respect to development and other things. And obviously a lot of excitement here with the draft just around the corner.
So much to talk about in Green Bay, Mr. Mayor. Before we get into all those things, tell folks just a little bit about yourself for those people listening across the state of Wisconsin that might not have heard of you or your story. You said you grew up in Green Bay, went to school here in Madison, but anything else people should know, kind of your service to community and then how you ended up being the mayor of Green Bay?
Yeah, like I said, born and raised in Green Bay, went down to Madison to go to school, which is really where I developed an interest in politics. Worked for Senator Hansen for quite a while. So I think you and I, Todd, might have overlapped a little bit as
staffers. Yeah, I worked for Dale
Schultz.
Yeah, when you were with Senator Hansen. Yeah.
Yeah,
great guy,
so I
by
started
the way.
Working, mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic guy. And actually just talked to him yesterday. He's doing really well. But started working for Dave back in 2001, which is really where, you know, I kind of began the career in politics. So did that for a stretch, then moved back to our hometown. My wife, also from Green Bay. She's a school teacher here locally in Green Bay Public Schools. But she and I moved back, in that time, got a master's degree in library science, which is maybe the most unique thing about me, you know, being a librarian and a politician. You don't see that too often, but, also worked for a congressman. Congressman Kagan was elected around here for a couple terms. And so worked for him, but I ran myself for state assembly back in 2012. So I've been in elective office essentially since then, ran for mayor back in 2019. And so just yesterday, I think, celebrated the 6-year anniversary of being in this spot.
Hey, congratulations. That's,
yeah, you know, thank you.
These days, people can stick around. That's something to celebrate.
Right.
And, well, appreciate making time for our show. Lots to get to and talk about. I want to just bring folks aware, make people aware. We have Dan Schaefer for the Recombobulation area on this show frequently. Of course, he's our political editor here at Civic Media as well. But you have a guest column entitled Where the Democratic Party Should Go From Here. People can read it by going to www.therecombobulationarea.news. I read through it. I was impressed. It's meaty. There's a lot there. But I think one of my big takeaways, Mr. Mayor, and you can talk about this however you want. You know, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, what I got out of it, one of the things that really impressed me, you seem to have a very pragmatic take on this, much the same as U.S. Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii, who, you know, I think he has one of the great quotes of the last couple, 3 months. He said, Democrats just need to start talking like normal people. And I think you make an argument here for working people. And I don't think you can get elected being mayor of Green Bay on either side of the fence without just being normal, quote unquote, and standing up for working people.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, my original title for the piece was based on the bumper sticker that I reference here, which is, you know, we the people are pissed. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, part of the issue and part of the failing among Democrats is an inability to channel that frustration and that indignation, and to really express to people that, you know, we're not happy about things either, mm-hmm. right? There, mm-hmm. there's a lot of good reason to be upset, you know, with how government has functioned or dysfunctioned. But there's a lot to be upset about with the way that, you know, corporate America has behaved, and the frustrations associated with navigating any kind of bureaucracy, you know, whether it be with your, you know, your cable bill or whatever the situation is. I mean, there's a lot of reason for people to be upset with the status quo. And I think there's been, you know, a real inability or unwillingness to express that. You know, one of the things that I think Bill Clinton was famous for was kind of like feeling people's pain, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we've got to be able to feel the fact that people are upset. And to your point, you know, just respond really practically. And, you know, we've got a lot to work on within the city of Green Bay, the city government, you know, constantly figuring out how we can improve services and speed things up, especially when we're talking about bringing, you know, big developments to town, whether they might be, you know, in manufacturing or some other business or in the housing sector. So, you know, plenty of stuff to work on here, but, you know, there's a ton to work on at the state and federal levels as well. And I think we haven't had enough people expressing the fact that, you know, we want to get stuff done. We mm-hmm. want to do better. And there's plenty to be upset about, but we're in this together to figure it out and improve people's lives.
People can read all of this at www.therecapopulationarea.news. A guest column by Mayor Genrich there on the recapopulation area. I want to read just a couple of sentences and have you expand on this, Mr. Mayor. He writes in this piece, the recapopulation area, quote, genuinely decent people are frustrated by illegal immigration and are bewildered by rapidly shifting gender identity norms. But we cannot allow extremist politicians to weaponize these sentiments to dangerous ends, nor should we respond with anything but absolute opposition to the latest iteration of trickle-down tax policy that will lead to massive cuts in healthcare programs, Social Security, exploding deficits, or a bit of both. And then finally, you often kind of your maxim of support people, not systems, be indignant of injustice, and act boldly. I don't know, but that sounds like a winner to me, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, to me, I think, you know, on some of those topics, you know, just to kind of go through them a little bit.
And we got about a minute left, and we'll come back and finish up, but go ahead.
Sure, yeah. I mean, with illegal immigration, I think, you know, generally speaking, especially in Green Bay, you know, people want others to follow the rules and do good by themselves and their families and the community. There's frustration when you know, people think that the system is being abused, especially when the economy is not working to their benefit. And so those social issues, you know, are going to be issues that come up. But we can't allow them to be weaponized and allowed to kind of bait and switch and put through an agenda that's not in the interest of working people.
Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich is our guest. I knew I'd do that back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Several magazines, well, at least one, is the best place to live in America. But ask the mayor, he'll tell you it's always been that way. And starting next week, it will be the center of the sports world for the NFL draft. Right now, we are talking to the mayor of Green Bay, Wisconsin, Eric Genrich. Mr. Mayor, we appreciate you taking the time here. Talk about the draft in a minute, but I want to, we're up against the clock there, but I want to let you finish up talking about these comments here in your great column called Where the Democratic Party Should Go From Here. You can find it now for folks that want to check it out, and please do at www.therecapopulationarea.news. I just commented that I it's refreshing to me as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, who now is just an independent, but to hear people from either side, but I think it's really refreshing to hear someone who identifies with the Democratic Party to say, look, I mean, there are genuinely good people who might disagree with us when it comes to things like immigration or shifting gender identity norms, as you write, but we should have a line in the sand here of just saying, look, let's support people. These are your words, not systems. Be indignant of injustice and act boldly. Any more you wanted to say on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a little bit later in the column, I kind of talk about, you know, some of the things that have been directed towards education at the federal level. Obviously, taking a wrecking ball to the entirety of the department is a disastrous move and a really radical step by the Trump administration. But I think it's a good question to pose to people, you know, what value has the department offered to teachers or kids in the classrooms? You know, pose that question to Wisconsin teachers or to Wisconsin kids. And I don't know that you're going to get, you know, a great answer necessarily. Right. So there are real reforms, I think, that, you know, you could put in place, to streamline things, to make sure that there's more money that's going to our classrooms to support our teachers, to support our kids. And I don't think, especially in recent years, you know, as many Democrats as are necessary have been talking about how we actually move the ball forward on an issue like that, just to just to pick one. And so I think, especially in this situation, and sometimes it's very called for just to simply oppose what's being proposed, you know, what's coming out of Washington. But I think we got to take a beat to say, hey, do we really want to be the party of the status quo? Is that really, you know, what is called for? And, you know, something that that is kind of in my political history, my political past, is I was one of the very few elected Democrats back in 2016 to support Bernie Sanders when he ran for president. One of two state elected officials at that time before the primary to support him. And it was not to say that, you know, he was a perfect candidate or Secretary Clinton was a terrible one. But to me, it was really clear that Bernie Sanders was kind of skating towards where the puck was going to be, right? That he was really channeling frustrations in a left populist way that could compete with somebody like Donald Trump and take us in a much more positive direction.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I do want to spend at least a couple of minutes on the draft here. But just if you could, because I think that's very interesting, because Bernie and AOC are getting these big crowds right now at their rallies, even in red states right now. They were in Wisconsin here a little while back and did well. Elon Musk was in your city, Green Bay, spent $20 million and still came up short in who he was supporting, Brad Schimmel, on the Supreme Court race. What do you make of these rallies on Bernie and AOC? How does that play in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really been pretty impressive to see the number of people that are turning out for these rallies, especially in places like Utah, and I think Montana just recently, you know, had a really sizable rally. I mean, this is the kind of thing that people are really hungry for. And it's not to say that, you know, that every single thing that's being offered by Sanders or AOC, you know, is going to be agreed to by working class people in Green Bay or across the state of Wisconsin or many other places. But what they really have going for them and what we have to channel, kind of irrespective of where you fall in the spectrum of Democratic politics or independent politics, is this anti-system mentality. And I think that's what they're tapping into in a really positive way. And I think it's something that more Democrats need to figure out and figure out quickly, which is that, again, we don't want to be the party of the status quo. We don't have to be. You know, that's a choice that we have to make. And unfortunately, we've been viewed as kind of the pro-system, pro-bureaucracy, pro-government, in all cases, party.
Right. Ben Wickler, who I have a lot of respect for, the Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, stepping down. I think he got more than a lot of people out there on either side of the aisle, in my opinion, to look to create a coalition. You got to listen to everybody. And you know, he spent time out in places like where I'm from in Southwest Wisconsin, in rural Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, and cities like Green Bay, Milwaukee, and Madison, was able to bring people together. Do you have a favorite dog, so to speak, in this new race for the Democratic Party chairmanship yet, or are you still kind of waiting on that?
Yeah, I really don't at this point. I'm familiar with a few of the candidates. Think there's some really talented people who have tossed their hat in the ring at this point. But man, I mean, you talk about like big shoes to fill.
Right.
I've referred to Ben Wickler as the GOAT. I don't think there's any any competition. Right. You know, when it comes to state party chairs here in the state of Wisconsin, he's been phenomenal.
And meanwhile, in Brown County, right there in Green Bay, the Republicans, they're in uproar right now. There's a story we didn't even get to yet today. Maybe we will later. I know Jan Schaefer is going to join Matt and Aaron tomorrow on her show. I mean, you got uprising from the grassroots, the Republican side, trying to overthrow Brian Schimming. So, I mean, there's a lot of change in the air this spring in Wisconsin politics.
Right. Yeah, undoubtedly. And I think, you know, I don't know exactly where some of that that angst is coming from. But again, you know, Wickler did a phenomenal job in mobilizing folks and raising a ton of money, and, you know, and supporting a good candidate in Susan Crawford, getting her over the top just a few weeks back.
I left us all about 90 seconds to 2 minutes to talk about the really bad, burying the lead, of course. The draft. The Packers are hosting the draft. I mean, this is a huge economic boost. It has to be. Yeah. People have to be excited right now in Green Bay, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, yeah. We're thrilled about it. And, you know, the smallest NFL city, but the biggest heart, you know, by I don't know how long. Mm-hmm. Our citizens are just so excited to welcome hundreds of thousands of guests to the city of Green Bay, kind of natural ambassadors. You know, we do this on every game day weekend in the fall, but obviously never had an event of this scale before here in the city. So yeah, we're thrilled about it. I mean, the economic impact is going to be substantial. As you said, 20 million roughly in the metro area. And then I think 96 million is the number that's being used statewide. And in addition to that, you know, we're just going to have millions of eyeballs on the city of Green Bay during that stretch, and a real great opportunity for us to talk about the fact that that we have been, you know, the number one city to live in, that we're a safe community, that we've got, you know, really good healthcare options, good schools, a lot of great people around here.
Well, I'm told now we're going to be at Stadium View next Friday for the stop on over. You'll be busy, but if you're welcome to stop on over, we'll talk to you then. We'll see you up in Green Bay for the draft, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much.
That'd be great.
All right. Mayor
Thanks,
Eric Genrich with us. We appreciate him so very much. Stay tuned for State Senator Sarah Kieske next on the All Balls Show on Civic Media. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, April 17th, 2025. Zomer's on the board. Many thanks to Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich for being our guest last half hour. Cannot wait to get up there next Friday for the draft. And very excited for our next guest as well from a part of the state that I'm familiar with, South Central and Southwest Wisconsin. She is the new freshman state senator for that area. We welcome her back to the program. Sarah Kieske joining us from her office here in Madison via StreamYard. Senator Kieske, thanks for coming back. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's great to catch up with you once again. You've been in office now for a little while, and I understand that you've...
Three whole months.
and look at this, only 3 months onto the job, and you're doing something that seems foreign, at least to some elected officials these days, holding office hours and going out and actually meeting folks. I understand you've been on the road around your district a lot this week. Tell folks a little bit about that and what you're hearing from your constituents in South Central and Southwest Wisconsin.
Sure. So I've had 5 listening sessions, and that's been in April and a bit in March. So I'll talk about that a little bit. And then this week, I've been in Reedsburg and Richland Center and Plain and Poinette, Portage, and I'm going to be in Lodi the 28th of this month.
28th,
so
right.
A Monday. Yeah, Monday. And so, yeah, just trying to really listen to the voters, our constituents, about their concerns. This week, I've been in Adams Friendship. I was doing a school reality day. I helped them volunteer at that, which was really like an experiential thing, teaching them financial literacy. So that was really fun.
Wow.
I was in Sauk Prairie, their school district yesterday. They were doing, teaching the kids about manufacturing and then trying to show them all the different nuances to manufacturing, not just being on the assembly line, but also having people that are doing the inspections, people that are doing the accounting, people that are doing the marketing, and just showing like kind of the vast array of options for that. So just really fun things. I've also been to Common Threads today, which is providing services for constituents that have neurodivergence. I was at Pathways yesterday in Baraboo learning about their homeless shelter. So just really like finding out all these beautiful things that are happening in the district, and just so proud of the people that are doing all these programs. So it's been really wonderful to be able to be out there.
Well, I admire you that taking the time to go out there and actually hold real office hours and to meet with your constituents. There are so many, as we know, great stories about what makes Wisconsin great. What are the concerns that you're hearing as you just, you know, have lunch on main streets or whatnot, or you're talking mm-hmm. with people at office hours? What are the top one or two concerns right now you're hearing from people in Wisconsin?
Yeah, prices and uncertainty. I would say those are the two things. Uncertainty has been really a really major like cloud over everything. People are seeking just some clarity about, do you know what's going to be happening at the federal level, so that we can understand what's going to be happening to us here in our backyards? Do you know what's happening with Medicaid? Do you know anything about Social Security? I hear that they're closing the Department of Education. How's that going to affect our schools? Do you know Meals on Wheels for ADRC, if they're going to do something with the funding from mm-hmm. the national level? So everybody's really just kind of pins on needles, honestly, just kind of, I don't know how my life is going to change. And I'm really concerned because it sounds like everything is kind of maybe touched in some way. And then the prices, you know, I'm concerned about prices of childcare and housing and food, and then seeing tariffs be talked about in the news and just going, well, how's that going to affect me? And, you know, I hear, you know, maybe the farmers aren't going to be able to sell some of their product, and how will that affect the prices in the grocery store? And so really people are understanding that there's a big web here and there's impact on really everyone in different ways, but no one's probably going to be unaffected. And people are trying to figure out, well, how do I plan for that? And the reality is, much of the time, I have to say, I don't know yet. Most people don't know. And mm-hmm. everybody I ask that's above me and has a higher pay grade and more information, you know, from everybody from Mark Pocan to Tammy Baldwin, when I meet with them, I ask them what they know. And honestly, they're doing their best to advocate for their constituents too, but there's a lot of just unknown.
We are talking to State Senator Sarah Kieske, who represents the 14th District in the Wisconsin State Senate in South Central and Southwest Wisconsin. Senator Kieske, I know one of the things that you have been trying to provide some relief or maybe protection is a better word, is this new bill in the State Senate and State Assembly, I guess as a Senate bill, dealing with prohibiting hedge funds from acquiring single-family homes in the state. That sounds complicated to me, but I think at the end of the day, one of the things that we hear about, I know you have as you travel around the district, people are just very concerned about the cost of housing, whether it's how much we're paying for rent, how much, you know, we're able to, younger people, can they ever afford to buy a home? Yeah. And there's something that people don't know. I think they're making that uncertainty worse, and you're offering a piece of legislation to address that. Tell us about it, please.
Sure. So, yeah, so housing is a big concern, and prices of housing and or rentals has been a major issue that I've heard about. I also have 6 kids, and they're ultimately hopefully going to be able to be homeowners someday, because we know that's how we build wealth, or at least a way. And right now, the possibilities of that are growing more and more limited. So hedge funds, for most people probably know, but I'll just share, hedge funds are basically organizations that pool together really wealthy people. So they have all this wealth pooled together, and then they can make major investments in things. And then the risk is kind of more limited. And so we're saying hedge funds, we're asking to prohibit them from buying single family homes in the state of Wisconsin. Now, this isn't widespread yet, but we're really trying to make sure that it doesn't become widespread. We're seeing it in Milwaukee area in particular. And what we're learning is that these hedge funds are oftentimes buying them and then either turning them into rentals, which then, you know, helps them determine, or they can determine then rental prices, which oftentimes then go up, or they sit on them. So they're not usable for families to buy. They sit on them until the housing market changes, and then they can, you know, make a profit on it, and or turning them into like Airbnbs. And so really then taking away the opportunity for people to become homeowners, and again, help with our families build their economic wealth and have these the stabilization of economies in the local area, because if we have families there long term, that is a stabilizing force for like schools, etc. And so really just trying to help make this opportunity more available versus some of these things that are helping to restrict it.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. I hadn't heard about it. That's interesting news about this happening, starting to happen in Milwaukee, because I've heard about it at a larger scale, places like Las Vegas or Phoenix, Arizona, or out in L.A. And again, to your point, for our listeners, we're not talking about a couple of neighbors that say, hey, let's buy one or two houses and have an Airbnb business. You're talking about multimillionaire, not billionaires, coming in and saying, we're going to buy up every house in the Dells that's available, and nobody's gonna be able to afford these things, and then we're gonna jack up the prices, and it really is destroying communities.
Yeah, I mean, if you recognize that they can come in, they don't even have to necessarily sight unseen, right? And right away they can offer higher than asking price. I mean, and so they have an unfair advantage, and it creates a bit of a monopolistic practice potentially. And so we're just trying to protect our communities. I have a lot of small communities in my district, and I want to just make sure that there's something like this so that it just can't become a big problem versus having to address it after the fact.
Yeah. I think again, this has, if you, we saw this, I mean, I was working in the state capitol for former state senator Dale Schultz when Walker was governor, and we saw this with up north in the mining areas and up in Mellon, where foreign countries, the Chinese, other places were coming in and trying to buy huge amounts of swaths of farmland that it was never going to be farmed. And then they wanted to use this for development and jack up all the prices around there. So this is not foreign, pun intended, to Wisconsin. We've seen attempts like this before.
Right. And so there is now a ban for that happening as far as farmland with Chinese investors. And so it's just, again, it's just trying to make sure that we're doing things proactively to be mindful of the people that are in our state, and trying to protect really middle-class individuals rather than having those that are the wealthiest have all the benefits.
And to me, Senator, this bill seems like something that should be bipartisan, because whatever side of the fence we are on politically, most of us say, look, we don't want people from, you know, hedge fund managers from LA or San Francisco to come into Wisconsin and buy up all of our housing. You know, I mean, this should be a Wisconsin thing, should it not?
Yeah. And I think it is, as far as when I've even talked about it to people in these listening sessions, when I've gone to places talking about it and or put it on social media and have put it out there. Generally, people are very honest about their feelings about things that I say or do, good and bad, right?
Right.
This one has been very popular across the board. So I was really excited about that. So when I presented it and had co-sponsorships, I was really excited to see bipartisanship of it, because I just thought, really, maybe it's naive of me, right? But I'm eternally hopeful that it would be, because it just makes good sense and it's common sense. It turns out we do have 30 co-signers on the bill, which is fantastic. I'm very proud of that. But only one of them is a Republican in the assembly. And so we're going to call it bipartisan. We're
going to call it nothing these days.
Exactly. So I'm calling it bipartisan. I'm really excited about it. I want us to really like push for it. It just got its Senate bill number, which is 208. Mm-hmm. And it's my first one to really as the lead. Yeah. And so I'm just really excited about it, really proud of it. And I'm really hopeful that we get it passed on the governor's desk.
Well, congratulations. I hope people will call up their elected officials across the state in both houses and urge support of SB 208, sponsored by Senator Kieske. Senator, about 2 minutes left here. Another bill that you're a co-sponsor of, which means a lot to me, is designating the Tom Deal Memorial Highway. Tom Deal is, you tell folks, I got about 2 minutes left.
No, do him justice. I
knew the guy through politics, other places, and he was a guy that gave to both sides in terms of money because he loved the Dells and loved tourism. It was a job creator, took over kind of the Tommy Bartlett empire after kind of, you know, learning it at the knees of Tommy Bartlett. And he's just a great guy for tourism. And it was a part of what made Wisconsin great. He passed away this last year.
Yes. I never got the chance to meet him, which is a real unfortunate thing because it sounds like he was just a man of just goodness and innovation. And I was privileged enough to meet his daughter, Jill. That was wonderful. And then I just went to the annual tourism for their dinner in Sun Prairie, and I got to meet his wife. And some of the siblings and the grandchildren. And they really spoke so highly of him, and it was really lovely. I'm really proud to be co-signing on this, that there's going to be a stretch of highway that is going to be in his name, and just so he is remembered well. And we just do a great act of making sure those that have served our community in different ways really are acknowledged and recognized.
Yeah, to me, Tom Thiel is the kind of guy that got it because he was a big backer of Tommy Thompson, a former Republican governor. He was also a big backer of Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin because he didn't really care what side of the aisle you were on. Hey, if you were for putting money into roads to help people from Chicago and Minneapolis get to the Dells, if you were, he was a great conservationist as well and wanted the areas around the Dells to be preserved for in our state park system, whether it was Devil's Lake or whether it was just recreational areas for camping and hunting. He was all for it because he said it's good for the state. It's good for tourism. And so much of our people in Wisconsin rely on others coming in here for our income. And so I really admire you for again sponsoring this bipartisan bill to honor the late great Tom Deal. I appreciate that, Senator.
Yeah, well, no, it sounds like I should be enamored with having my name next to his. So that's really
He
lovely.
was a
Thank
great
you.
guy. He really was. Well, we appreciate your time here again. Senator Kieski is going to be in Lodi next was it April 28th.
Yep. So it's a Monday. It's
Next
about a
Monday.
week and a half away.
All right.
Yeah. Not this coming, but the following.
All right. One of our great state senators, elected officials, who is actually going out and meeting with the people. Senator Kieska, we appreciate you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye
Our
now.
Pleasure. Come on back to discuss Republican politics, why they're calling him Pontius Shimming. I'm not joking around. For Easter weekend, it's the Town Hall Bowl Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Bowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock on Thursday, April 17th. Very dramatic music, Summers, to come back in with.
It's the overture from Ben-Hur, the Charlton Heston movie that features a certain character, Pontius Pilate.
Pontius Pilate. Yes, indeed. Welcome back. First of all, many thanks to State Senator Sarah Kieski. How about that?
Absolutely.
She's out
yes.
there. She's fantastic and getting it done, holding office hours, and always happy to hear the updates and very important bill she's got on this housing thing, keeping these hedge funds out of Wisconsin because it really can create havoc in local housing markets. But yes, Zomers is right. We're going to talk about so this is real. Joe, is it Joe Gaglianoni? No, it's Joe Giagani. I don't know how to say his name. A conservative radio host in the 8th Congressional District up there around Green Bay is railing against the Republican Party chair of Wisconsin, our old friend, Brian the Shim Sham Shimming Man. I don't know why this is so funny to me. I guess because I came up through the Republican Party. Of course, I left in 2011. I know Brian Shimming well. And again, he's a great guy to have a Diet Coke with on the Edgewater Pier. You understand? He'll make you laugh. He's a funny guy. But he's kind of let himself be co-opted into the MAGA movement here, leading the Wisconsin Republican Party. Well, Brian has not done real well, or at least the party hasn't, lately in elections. Brad Schimmel lost to Susan Crawford in the Supreme Court race. Of course, Schimmel backed by the Wisconsin Republican Party. Tammy Baldwin got reelected. So lately, and they lost, Republicans lost seats in the state legislature this last go around. So some of the grassroots Republican Party of Wisconsin are getting upset at Brian Shimming, saying he's not MAGA enough, basically. Not defending Donald Trump enough. So now conservative radio up in Green Bay has labeled Brian Shimming, quote, Pontius Shimming, a reference to the Roman governor who ordered the crucifixion of Jesus. The guy says, quote, here in the state of Wisconsin, I have county leaders who are being crucified under Pontius Shimming because he wouldn't speak up. He wouldn't stand up. Now he didn't actively try to axe these people, but nor did he do anything to try to stop it. I just think it's amusing that here, and again, Brian Shimming's been around forever. We were roughly, I think Shimming might be 5 or 6 years older than me. But he was a died in the, you know, a Tommy T, worked for Tommy Thompson in the administration, a mainstream Republican guy. And he kind of worked his way up in party leadership. Now, Brian Shimming is always up for anything that helps Brian Shimming, as a lot of these state party leaders are. But, you know, he's not, I wouldn't call himself personally way out there. He's just a survivor. He knows how to hunker and survive. But now some of these more really right-wing MAGA people in the state Republican Party, particularly in Green Bay, are not happy with Brian Shimming. And even the Milwaukee Party is, and in Republican Party, the way it works in Republican Party politics, much of the decisions get made at the state convention vis-a-vis Milwaukee County because guess what? They have the largest contingent in their state delegation. So when it comes to votes on the floor at the state convention, boy, if you don't have Milwaukee County on your side, you better have a lot of other people. And so the state party convention for the Republicans is coming up next month. And now the state party has passed internal, I'll call it legislation, which allows the state party to remove leadership people at the county and congressional level if they are found in violation of, quote unquote, the party's mission. So here you've got Shimming and the internal party guys and gals saying, we can't have any of this dissension. And so they passed internal bylaws in which they could kick out a party, a county party chair, or a congressional, the congressional districts, and there's a chair of that district as well. Basically, if we don't like what you're saying. So they're trying to quell the rebellion within the Wisconsin Republican Party. And we talked, I was on Jay Matinier's show a couple of days ago talking about this, that all the attention right now, or much of it, is focused on the Democrats, with Ben Wickler stepping down as the county party chair. And who's going to replace Ben Wickler? But don't sleep on the undercard here. There could be strife, consternation, gnashing of teeth at this year's state Republican convention. Next, I wonder if they'll let Trigvy and I in this year's Zomers.
One can only hope.
Because it could be a WWE spectacle. It could be a throwdown with Brian Arthur Shimming taking on whoever the MAGA people put up.
Ding, ding.
Right.
Now, wouldn't that be an event to commentate with your prior broadcast partner, Kevin O'Connor?
Yes, it would be absolutely fantastic to host that. So I'm obviously a little amused by all of this because normally everything is cut and dried over there at RPW. There is not a lot of dissension allowed. But here now, some folks in Green Bay and Milwaukee are rising up, kind of like Yertle the Turtle in the Dr. Seuss book, a little turtle named Max. And Yertle the Turtle, i.e. Brian Shimming, or a.k.a. Pontius Shimming, is saying, no, we will not allow dissension. So we'll see. Because there's a governor's race coming up. Republicans, and there's a lot of rumors that Scott Walker is trying to make a comeback, that Rebecca Clayfish is taking another look at it. We talked about this no-name guy, the billionaire that wants to be governor. So we'll see. It is Easter weekend, and Pontius Shimming is in the news. Back with hour two after this, including what's worse is the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.